passage from Matthew, the very end of the gospel. And throughout Matthew's gospel, he's very careful to have Jesus talk only to his fellow Jews. And it's only at the end where you get the risen Jesus saying, now go talk to everybody. Again, it is the completion of the whole Jewish commission from God to be a light of revelation to all the Gentiles. Okay, so. Today, the Feast of the Ascension. And I just, as I said over and over, the older I get, the more I am convinced that our theological language obscures as much as it illuminates. I mean, we forget that all religious language is metaphorical. You can't talk literally about God. So when we get all these statements, Jesus died for our sins, or Jesus washed away the sins of the world, I mean, what does that mean? What does that mean? It is possible to use that stuff as I said on Easter Day, just as a kind of abstract statement of stuff going on over our head. There is no experiential foundation for that kind of stuff, I think. And that's the danger. Because Revelation is not like the Book of Mormon or the Quran, where God just kind of flops stuff down on people's heads and say, well, this is it, folks, and you just, you know, fall in line. No, it has to grow out of people's lived experience. Or it's falling. It never touches the earth, you know. It never impacts our lives, really. And this is particularly true when we talk about the divinity of Jesus. As I said, that didn't get it sorted out for hundreds of years after Jesus' death and belief in Jesus having been raised. So we need to, I think, go behind all these texts often enough. What is the meaning of the ascension? I mean, if you take the Jesus divinity thing, you say, well, that's easy. It's Jesus' big homecoming. You know, Jesus left the Father, then he had this little sojourn, and then he went back home, and it's all finished. But notice, that doesn't have anything to do with me. I mean, it's very nice for Jesus, I'm sure. But it doesn't have anything to do with me. So there's obviously something more afoot here in our belief in the ascension of Jesus. And of course, it has to be attached to the rest of Jesus' own life. What was Jesus' life? His life of preaching the kingdom of God, of living the kingdom of God, which means what? Encompassing everybody. So it stands in opposition to the exclusivism of much of the Judaism of his own day. They're very anxious to say, yeah, you're good and you're bad. And it certainly, even more emphatically, stands over against the power structures of the day of the Roman Empire, with its law of violence and oppression, and that's the way to get things done. You know, scare the hell out of everybody, literally. You know, then you can get everybody in line. And for those reasons, Jesus was killed. The world cannot function in the presence of somebody who takes seriously the very least of us human beings. Cannot. It just cannot. And so this poor man Jesus, as Luke says, foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head, you know. But what you do to the least of these, you do to me. All that stuff got him killed. That radical openness to everybody, that radical openness to the most invisible among us. And so the ascension, in this light, looking at the human career of Jesus means what? That justice will finally out. That God is on the side, as the bishops at Medellin put it, of the poor. There is a preferential option for the poor without ignoring the rich. That's the great theme that goes all through the Bible. We had the Feast of the Visitation this week. And I tried to say something about Mary, because you look at Mary in Roman piety, and Mary the queen of this, the queen of that, queen of the angels, queen of the universe, queen of the world. But you look at the only places in the scripture where Mary's talked about, she's the lowly handmaid of the Lord. She is the mother of the poor. She is not a queen. He's put down the mighty from their throne and exalted the humble. The rich is sent away empty. This again, where our theological language just obscures what is going on here. And so, the Feast of the Ascension is a great feast because it means that what, out of the billions of us on this planet, most of whom are going to die anonymously, for most of whom life is short, brutish, and nasty, that's not the end of the story. That God does work in their favor. That God excludes nobody. So to celebrate the God of Jesus is to celebrate this God who embraces all of us indiscriminately. That's amazing. That's amazing. I mean that really does touch the ground, I think, because I look at the news every night and see more people blown up and body parts all over here. And say, oh yeah, that's too bad. The statistics are real people, huh? All these people who die of hunger or disease every day. And we are called by Jesus to say, no, those are not statistics. Those are real human beings. Those are your sisters and brothers. And to knead that into our experience. That's what Jesus was all about. He said, these people are real. These people are real. They're three-dimensional figures with hopes and beliefs and ambitions and desires and all kinds of stuff, just like the rest of us. And that God will not have all those people frustrated by the brevity or the brutality of their existences.